Here's mail call, one big package of words and music and laughter delivered to you by the stars from whom you want to hear. In answer to the request you send to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. This mail call is dedicated to the thousands of servicemen and servicewomen from the Dominion of Canada. And here to act as your mistress of ceremonies is the star whose many thrilling performances have won for her an everlasting place in the moviegoers' Hall of Fame, Montreal's favorite daughter, Norma Shearer.
Thank you, Don Wilson. And thank all of you for inviting me to participate in this airmail tribute to the servicemen and women from Canada. Whatever part of America's great northern neighbor you may hail from, Quebec or British Columbia, Ontario or the Yukon, we want you to know that this letter is for you. And what better way to get it started than by speeding your way the Armed Forces Radio Orchestra's splendid arrangement of Canada's splendid song, I remember it so well, The Maple Leaf Forever. Boys, that was just wonderful. And now to continue this verbal special delivery, I'd like to present a young man whose own verbal delivery has won him a high place both on the screen star list and the radio's list of star comedians. Here he is, Manitoba's Lend-Lease contribution to the United States, Jack Carson.
Thank you, folks, and hello, fellas. Norm, it's a real pleasure for me to be in this particular mail call. You know, Canada claims me as a native son.
Really?
Well, it's not exactly a claim. It's more of a confession. I was born in the little town of Carmen, Manitoba.
Carmen?
Yeah, that's right near Guy Lombardo. I'll never forget all those winters I spent in Canada. Gosh, it got cold. In fact, the girls up there wore sweaters just to keep warm. Everything froze. I whistled with one girl, and for the next 3 years, I went around with a permanent pucker.
Well, loosen your lips, Jack. You're in a warm country now. I understand that you've worked up a little travelogue of Canada for us. Sort of a P-38's eye view of the entire Dominion.
Well, yes, I have, Norma. But first, I'd like to say to all of those of you who hail from that great country that any resemblance to people or places that occurs in this little trip is purely impossible. And now I want you all to join me as I fly high above the rooftops of the world on my magic bath mat. fly toward the great dominion of Canada, we pause for a moment at the last connecting link with the United States, historic Niagara Falls. The magic bath mat swoops low as we observe a young couple engaged in a typical Niagara Falls conversation. And so we leave Harry James and Betty Grable. We find ourselves now in the great city of Montreal. This cosmopolitan and industrial center is literally humming with activity. Seeking a bit of advice concerning our itinerary, we stop at a busy intersection to consult a police officer. Much like the London Bobby, the Canadian policeman is esteemed for his politeness. He nods courteously as we approach. Tell me, officer, where would you suggest I make my first stop on this tour of Canada? Ontario, Quebec, or Saskatchewan?
Go to Halifax.
With a friendly pat on the back, bidding this kindly flatfoot adieu, we push on into the interior of Quebec. This land of scenic wonders is famed in song and story for its many concealed lakes. Buried as they are in the heart of the forest, they are very difficult to find. Ah, here's one. Drying ourselves off, we stroll through a peaceful wooded glen. It abounds in wildlife, and even now we see before us a little rabbit busily munching at his noonday meal.
What's up, Doc?
Bugs Bunny, what are you doing up here in Quebec?
Oh, I'm on my honeymoon, Doc.
Well, isn't that nice?
Oh, yeah, it's perfect. Just me, my wife, and our adding machine.
And so we tune off one rabbit's family. And continue our trek westward. Now we are in an open field, and as we cross it... But wait, what's this? An angry bull is pawing the earth before us. Ever mindful of the old adage, we step right up and grab the bull by the horn. There wasn't a bull, and those weren't his horns. Drying ourselves off again... The bath mat flies northward, up to Hudson Bay on the rim of the Arctic Circle. Soon we find ourselves at the last frontier of this rugged country. Here in front of a little trading post, we see a dog sled hitched up and ready to travel. Near it stands a burly, brawny prospector about to leave for the Yukon. His grizzled, weather-beaten face bespeaks dozens of battles against the icy elements. But what's this? He's sitting down in his sled. We address this veteran of the Northland. Tell us, stranger... Aren't you going to bush on to the Yukon?
Are you kidding, kid? It's chilly.
We wave a loose wrist at this poor frozen custard. And take off on the last leg of our journey. Soon we are flying over the great province of Manitoba, where we see below us the little town of Carmen. This is my birthplace, and it is with considerable nostalgia that we land for another look at the scenes of my childhood. After 20 years, everything seems the same. Even my old school teacher standing in front of the cigar store. This is the man to whom I owe all my early training and education. With a voice choked with emotion, I approach him. Teacher, don't you remember me?
Why,
Jack Carson. Thank you. That was every bit as amusing as it was inaccurate. You know, they say that the Northwest Mounted Police always get their man. Then your next star has played the part of a mountie many times. And not only does he always get his man, but occasionally he winds up with Jeanette McDonald, too. Which isn't bad winding up with, even for Nelson Eddy. Ontario, give us those lovely young stars, Anne Rutherford and Cecilia Parker. Welcome to Mail Call, girl. It's certainly been a long time since I've seen you two.
Yes, Anne and myself have worked in quite a few hobby pictures since we last met, I'm sure. That's why we don't get around to very much. Lois Stone is quite strict, you know.
Yes, I remember. Lois Stone always likes to keep an eye on the younger stars.
Well, yes, but not like Mickey Rooney. It's funny to think of it. Gee whiz, if Mickey Rooney here, we might be able to do a dramatization of one of the Hardy pictures for the gang listening in.
Well, at present, Mickey is taking his direction from top to top sergeant. But we're still going to do a Hardy family sketch.
But how? He's going to play the part of Andy Hardy.
Or king-size Mickey Rooney, Jack Carson.
The scene, Judge Hardy's study. Andrew Hardy, played by Jack Carson through the courtesy of the Warner Brothers. Is talking to his father, Judge Hardy, played by Nelson Eddy, through the courtesy of the Shortman Bread Baking Company.
Sandy speaks. Dad?
Yes, son?
I think it's about time we had another man-to-man talk. I have to have a bigger allowance.
Andrew, we've been all over this before. Remember, money isn't everything. Money can't bring you happiness.
The money I get can't. I just gotta have a bigger allowance, Dad. I'm 16 now, you know. Well, Dad, there's a girl.
Andrew, when I was your age, I was courting your mother, and I didn't get any allowance.
You didn't need any. Mother was loaded. Come on, Dad. You've always been fair in the past. What about it?
Andrew, after careful consideration, I don't think I should increase your allowance.
Well, very well, Dad. You're still the fairest father a fellow ever had.
I am?
Yep. All the other guys have half fathers. You've got to be a square.
Well, here's Polly Benedict's place now. I'll ring the bell.
Why, Andrew Hardy, come on in.
I can only stay a minute. I just want to know what you're doing Saturday.
Oh, nothing, Andy.
Oh, great. I got a wonderful day planned for us. I'll meet you about 12 o'clock and we'll have lunch.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you got in the house is all right. Then we'll go for a nice long walk in the park.
Oh, good. We'll buy some peanuts and feed the squirrels, huh?
What do we have to buy peanuts for? The squirrels are fat enough now.
Well, then we can go to the lake and rent a boat.
Yeah, I think that's such a good idea. The lake is very damp this time of year.
Oh, we can go to the zoo for a while, and in the evening we'll find a nice quiet spot and watch the moon come up.
Oh, you mean for those telescopes to put a dime in?
Kind of think of it, there's going to be an eclipse Saturday night. Maybe we could go to that free dance at the high school.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I couldn't go to the dance with you, Andrew.
Well, why not? What's wrong with me?
Subject.
Well, look at you. In the first place, you look like a child. You're 16 years old and you're still wearing short pants. Now, how would it look for me to go to a dance with you and short pants?
Huh?
I said, how would it look for me to go to a dance with you in short pants?
Well, I know. I've never seen you wear short pants. I mean, I... I mean, I'll get long pants. You wait here. I'll get them right now. Dad, I think it's about time we had another man-to-man talk. Well, this time, let's not talk about men.
Very well, Andrew. What is it this time?
Well, Father,
I've always known you to be a very fair person. But I just can't bear to have people go around saying that Judge Hardy is starving little squirrels.
Andy, what are you talking about?
Squirrels, Father. Don't you see that this girl, she's wonderful. She's crazy about them. They love peanuts, and she loves to feed them. And if I don't get a bigger allowance, how can I buy peanuts for her?
Son, are you running around with a squirrel?
No, Father. Polly Benedict. Furthermore, she won't go out with me unless I wear long pants. I gotta have them.
Son, sometimes we exaggerate the importance of things. If this Polly Benedict only goes out with fellows because he wears long pants...
Oh, Dad, you don't have to get stuffy with me. We've both been around. After all, the only fun in life is to let go once in a while. If you let go twice in a while, it's twice as much fun in life.
Well, you can't wear short, long pants yet. You can't wear long pants yet. That's what I... Anyhow, why, in a little while, you'll be standing on some street corner whistling at girls.
What's wrong with that?
Maybe in my corner.
Well, Father, if you don't want to buy me a pair of long pants, how about... lending me a pair of yours.
No, son, you're too small to wear my pants. You'll only have them dragging. You'll just have to wait.
How long do you want me to wait? Till I'm dragging? Come on, be a sport, Dad.
Well, it's not me so much. I'm afraid your mother would object.
Oh, you don't know. Just get it how to handle, Mom. That's all.
Please, Andrew. Remember, I wear the pants in the family.
Sure, Dad. But only because Mom is too chubby for slacks. Hey, that gives me a great idea. See you later, Pop.
What is it, Andy?
Gee, sis, you look lovely, sis. You're the prettiest sis a fellow ever had, sis.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, you're so beautiful, sis. You're gorgeous, sis.
What are you talking about? I've got a mud pack on.
Oh.
Oh, I get it. How much do you need this time?
Sis, I'm surprised at you. I wouldn't take money from a girl. Especially from you and my own flesh and mud. Gee.
Quit stalling, Andrew. How much do you want to borrow?
Sis, I don't want a penny. I swear to you on my yo-yo.
Well, what is it then, Andrew?
Well, the girl. She's crazy about me.
Please, Andrew, you're beginning to sound just like Jack Carson.
What, sis? Don't be angry with me. I may kid you a little once in a while, but you know how I really feel about you. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
Well, Andy, there isn't anything I wouldn't do for you either. Well, I'd give you the shirt off my back.
Yeah? Make it your slacks and it's a deal.
My slacks?
Yeah, I just got to have a pair of longies by tonight.
But my slacks will be too tight for you. How will you get into them?
Oh, don't worry about that, sis. I know a sailor. He'll show me. Hello, Polly.
Hello, Andy. How are... in the world have you got on?
Oh, just a pair of long pants.
But red crepe de chine.
I hadn't noticed I got so many, you know. Well, Polly, how do I look? Sharp?
No, round.
Gosh, Andy, those pants are awfully tight to me.
Oh, I don't think they're so tight.
Well, maybe not, but if I drop my handkerchief, just ignore it.
No. Come on, Andy. Let's go in the parlor.
I thought we were going out tonight.
Oh, no. We better stay home. The fellows won't know who to whistle at. Come on. Let's you and your red pants and me all go into the parlor.
All right, Polly. After you.
Oh, no. After you.
No. After you.
But, Andrew, why don't you want me to walk behind you?
You wouldn't believe it.
You know, Andy... in spite of all your clowning, I'm really terribly fond of you.
Honest?
Uh-huh. You know, Andy, I knew this afternoon when I went for a walk in the park this romance had come into my life.
You did?
Yes. Oh, gee, Andy, the breeze rustling in the treetops seemed to be sighing just for me. And the leaves whispering together like naughty schoolgirls seemed to be telling me all their secrets. And even the birds stopped their twisting long enough to whisper a message of love into my ears.
What are you hearing, the squirrels?
Oh, Andy, be serious. Put your arms around me.
Okay.
Come closer to me.
Uh-huh.
Now. Press your lips to mine.
Okay. That monkey Rooney really lived, didn't he?
Beside me.
Sit? Think I should?
Of course.
Well, I'll sit here for a while. How much you charge for room and board?
Cecilia Parker, Jack Carson, and Nelson Eddy, our sincerest thanks. And to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, our sincerest apologies. As I mentioned before, the Canadian Mounties always get their man. But to countless small villages and communities throughout the Dominion, the Mountie is more than just a policeman. He has become a symbol of friendliness and helpfulness in time of need. And so, it is in their honor that Nelson Eddy and the Paul Taylor Douglas Aeronators give us now the Song of the Mounties. Thank you.
just know one of those voices. They sing as they go, thundering voices. Up on the mountains. We come, somebody high, somebody bad. Through the hail, like a pack of hungry wolves on the trail. Dead or alive, we are out to get you, dead or alive. If you're the one, better run away. Son, you are done, throw your gun away. Here come the mounties to get the man they're after now.
With a few farewell words to every allied man and woman in uniform throughout the world. You who have met and lived and fought side by side with the Canadian know that he's pretty much like his American neighbor. He's a regular, easygoing fellow who likes his cold beer. He has a good sense of humor, a proportioned amount of self-confidence, and the firm belief that, like the GIs in the United States, he knows what the score is. The men from Winnipeg, Toronto, and Montreal who raided the F are no different than the men from Kansas City, Chicago, and Twin Forks, who stormed Sartan. There's little difference between soldiers from Hamilton, Sudbury, Quebec, and Calgary, and those from Charlotte, New York, Minneapolis, and Portland. They speak the same language, they want the same things. They enjoy the same hopes and desires and aspirations. And they're now fighting and dying for them on the same battlegrounds overseas. The Canadians have been in Europe 5 years now. Our English allies call them their Dominion cousins. The men from the United States call them Americans. But the Canadians themselves, well, for the last 2 years, the Canadians have been trying to explain the Yanks to the British and the British to the Yanks. And now they all understand and are explaining the entire problem to Adolf Hitler in the only language the Nazis understand, cold steel and hot lead. And so, wherever you are tonight, men of Canada, keep them going. And God bless you and watch over you all.
Another mail call letter. Signatures include Norma Shearer, Nelson Eddy, Jack Carson, Ann Rutherford, Cecilia Parker, Mel Blanc, the Paul Taylor Douglas Arianators, and yours truly, Don Wilson. This program is arranged with the cooperation of the Hollywood Victory Committee. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear. This is the Armed Forces Radio Show.